It's good to be here, and I thank you for the opportunity to minister the word and to consider it an honor to share the pulpit with Titus today. When I was asked to preach this evening, it was communicated to me, would you give a call of service to the church? And I said, well, sure. So I don't know if you came expecting that tonight, and if not, that means I have the element of surprise on my side. But that's what this evening I was asked to preach on. And to get our minds thinking along those lines and really give a unique focus to that, I'd like to ask you, as you can see on your bulletins, to turn to Romans chapter 10, where I'll read verses 14 through 17 to you. Romans 10, verses 14 through 17. Hear the word of the Lord. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ.
Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we pray this evening that as we spend this time in your word, we would hear Christ's voice speaking to us. So, Father, we pray that you would grant the full measure of your Spirit as we spend this time meditating and applying your word to the life of the church. For we ask it through Christ. Amen. Well, as we look across the landscape of our nation, as we hear about opportunities that are opening up in different nations of the world, as I come to you as a new teacher at our seminary instructing men in the art of preaching, I do see a great need for preachers. And I'm here tonight to give a call for the men here to consider giving themselves to a lifetime of bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people. And I'm here tonight to really beg this congregation that God has so abundantly blessed to give your prayers for, fervent prayers for, support of, and delight in asking God to send forth from this congregation really a mighty army of preachers that would go forth preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not that there is a lack of number of preachers in our land, but so many of them are not bringing faithfully the message of God to the people that are listening to them. And some who have the truth aren't preaching it like it is the truth, like it is the good news that Christ has given to us. And so there's a great, great need for preaching. Our larger catechism says, how is the word of God to be preached? And it lists some things such as diligently, faithfully, plainly. But then it goes on to conclude, it must be preached zealously, with fervent love to God and the souls of His people, sincerely aiming at His glory and their conversion, edification, and salvation. So many preachers don't preach as if they believe that what they're preaching can change hearts and lives, convert souls, and change eternity. And yet that is the call upon the church, is that we need preachers. And how Paul brings this out in these rhetorical, four of them, these rhetorical questions that he has here, each one driving to the truth of the next. How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they have been sent. All of this summarized, I think, so wonderfully in verse 15, which we'll concentrate on now, where it is a quote from the prophet Isaiah, where Paul says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." We need preachers. And I want to give you an adjective and a noun and a verb to describe the type of preachers that we need to ask God to be raising up in our midst. First of all, an adjective. We need preachers who are urgent. Who are urgent. What are they given to preach? They are given to preach the good news. We have the most wonderful news in the universe to announce to people. And we need to be urgent in bringing it to them. And it's good news. Back in my days in Kokomo, when we would do door-to-door work, often we would go out and in the various neighborhoods put some information of the church on their doorsteps with the Gospel of John. And so often we would lay that packet of information down with that Gospel of John right next to the newspaper, the daily newspaper. I thought, what a contrast. There's the bad news. Here's the good news. We're here to bring this good news to people. And that's what preaching should convey to those who are listening. We have such good news to bring. Christ has been crucified. And He has been raised from the dead. And we must preach. And we must ask God to raise up preachers who believe that with all their heart and their being and want to see others believe it as well. For that is what faith is. Back up in verses 9 and 10, Paul reminds us what the proper response to the gospel is. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. That's the basic Christian response to the gospel. Jesus is Lord. Jesus has been raised from the dead. My sins have been conquered. Life has come to me. And if that's the response that we want to see in people as they hear the gospel, then we need preaching that urgently presses that down upon their hearts. Preachers are called to tell the world that Jesus is the victor over sin and death. That He is the Lord now over all things. All authority, He said after His resurrection, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, He said, and make disciples of all the nations. And preachers need to have that sense of authority that the risen Lord has, who has told them to go and bring His message to the very ends of the earth and tell this world that Jesus Christ is King over this world. Who do most people think rules this world? The false gospel of our day that's being preached would tell people that Satan is the one that really rules this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. I mean, even the Bible says that. Remember, Jesus said before He went to the cross that the time has come to cast them down. Satan only rules by deception. He is a usurper. He is lying to people. He is blinding them. And we are here to wake them up and to tell them that no, Christ is Lord. And it is to Him and to Him alone that you must submit. He is a deceiver, a usurper. The only Lord of heaven and earth is Jesus. Amen? Amen? And we need to preach this urgently. Urgently. I'm afraid too many Reformed preachers get behind a pulpit and get intimidated. They don't want to act foolish. They want to appear scholarly. And in putting on a holy Reformed persona, they forget that their call, they are to be preaching to awaken the dead, to have blind eyes opened, to see lame people walk, to call the deaf to hear. And in order to do that, there has to be an urgency in the preaching. And that's what we need to be praying for our preachers. That they would be bold. That they would believe with all their hearts the words that are coming out of their lips. And that their goal, their aim, is to see those words penetrate the people that are listening to them. How we need preaching that is urgent. You know, in the Great Awakening, God raised up urgent preachers. Men like Whitfield and Tennant and so many others. And in the established church, they started getting a little nervous about all this. And they really began to speak against the animation of these preachers and the vividness by which they were preaching. And they were trying to say, no, we need to really kind of tone things down, do all things, we're good Presbyterians, decently and in order. And Jonathan Edwards responded. And he said this, and I think it's so true. Our people do not so much need to have their hearts stored, Our people do not so much need to have their heads stored, but to have their hearts touched. And they stand in that greatest need of that sort of preaching, which has the greatest tendency to do this. Paul said at the beginning of this epistle, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Do you believe that? Do our preachers believe that? And if they believe it, do they preach as if they believe so? I think so often it is not until we get to the desperateness of our calling, when we feel how futile it feels at times to be preaching and preaching and you seem to get no response, when you come up again and again and again against hardened souls that turn away from you, when you begin to realize just how lost people are, and you begin to just have a sense of how many people around us are going to their eternal damnation, and you start thinking about what that's going to be like for those souls to spend an eternity away from God, and it becomes to get in your heart this desperation that people would listen to you, that they would believe in the gospel, and then you start not really caring if you look like a fool when you preach. If only they will listen. If only they will listen. We need those who will preach urgently. Now for the noun. We need preachers who are heralds. Who are heralds. That's what this word preaching literally means here. To herald a message. To give official proclamation on behalf of another. It was used, you might think, in the Old Testament when a victory was won. They would want to send off a word to the king. You might remember when David's men finally conquered his son Absalom, who was in rebellion against him. They wanted to go send a message to him. And Joab sent a messenger off to tell David that news. That's how we are to be preaching, as heralds of the gospel. One preacher has said, too often preachers give their people the impression that all they need to do is think about what they have said. Yet God never gave us His Word just to think about it. He gave us His Word to obey. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, said, if God had merely given us His Word to talk about it, He'd have given His Word to parrots. Just repeating it. He hasn't entrusted it to parents. But praise be to God, He's entrusted it to preachers. And when I'm talking about a preacher here, I'm talking about a man who has been called to gospel ministry and set apart by his training and the recognition of his gifts by the church and sent into that ministry. That's what Paul is thinking of here. He's not just thinking of one believer speaking about the gospel to another, to his neighbor. That's wonderful things. We should be doing that. But here in this passage, he is thinking about what we would call the office of a preacher. The authoritative declaration of the counsel of God given by the minister of the gospel. As he taught over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, that when Jesus Christ did rise from the dead and ascended into heaven, He gave gifts to men. And one of those chief gifts that He has given to the church, He said, was pastors or preachers to the church. And here, in these rhetorical questions, back here in Romans 10, Paul says, how would they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And we need to hear this question very carefully. Some versions, such as the English Standard Version we're using here tonight, actually add a word here, and you might see that down in the notes of your Bible. They actually add the word of. Literally, this verse would read, how are they to believe in Him whom they have never heard? You see, when true preaching is taking place, you're not hearing some man. You're hearing from Christ. That's what a herald is. A herald's not giving you his message. He is simply bringing you the message of the King. And that is what we need. People hearing in preachers the voice of Christ speaking to them. In his commentary, James Boyce says this, when Jesus sent 72 disciples ahead of Him to preach in His name and prepare the people for His coming, He encouraged them saying this, He who listens to you listens to Me, and he who rejects you rejects Me. Boyce concludes, when I or any other minister stand up to teach the Bible, if I do it rightly, it is not my word you are hearing. It's the Word of God. And the voice you hear in your heart is the voice of Christ. I ask God tonight, God, I die. I don't care what they think of me. Please let them just hear Jesus tonight. And hear Him. Because there is a need for preachers. A need for preachers. Let me go now to the verb. We've seen that we need preachers who are urgent. We see that we need preachers who are heralds. And now the verb, we need preachers who are sent. Who are sent. Men must preach with the authority of God behind them. They must know that they haven't taken on this mantle in and of themselves, but it has been placed upon them by God through His church. And when they have that sense, then they can speak on behalf of Christ. Paul did this with Timothy, both in the way that he spoke to Timothy and then the way that he told Timothy to speak to the church. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, Paul says to Timothy, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. And so we need to ask God to raise up preachers who have that sense of being sent by Him for the work of His kingdom. And I want you to think about with me this evening as we conclude how we can apply this. First of all, commit yourself to seeing the church send forth preachers. Commit yourself as a people to that great and glorious goal. Dr. Roy Blackwood, my mentor, one who studied greatly church history, told me on one occasion that the reason that the Scottish church got to the place that it did in its history where it almost was dead until God has miraculously revived it here, and how? Through a preacher. He said, how did it get to that point? He said, it came a time in her history when all the pulpits were filled and they weren't trying to raise up new preachers because they didn't have anywhere to send them. May that never be said of us. We pray for God to raise up more ministers than open pulpits. Just ask Him to open up more pulpits and new places and new locations. We heard of one tonight. And this should be such a desire in our hearts. We need to open wide our hearts and support and pray and give liberally to those who are going into the field of preaching. I know that this congregation has done that. This past week, one of your interns, Little John, he spoke in chapel. Now, I had been here last summer and heard him speak. And then he preached this week in chapel. And with a fervency and an earnestness, he brought the Word of God. He's overcoming some of the language barrier there. And he ministered the Word of God so wonderfully to us. I've had a good time being around a couple of McCracken boys as of late. Down in Orlando last week, this guy over here. And God is raising up preachers in this congregation. And that's a wonderful testimony to this church. But instead of just being satisfied with that, we should be saying, Lord, send us more. Please, oh God, give us more preachers. And I want you men here this evening, young or older, for you to consider tonight. Is God calling you to be a preacher? We need preachers. Men who will dedicate and devote their lifetime to bringing the gospel to others. And so often when men are wrestling with this question, sometimes someone will say to them, well, if you can do anything else, do it. Maybe there's truth in that. But my question to you tonight is, if you can do this, why would you not? Why would you not? If God has put a yearning in your heart to bring the gospel to other people, if He has gifted you, if He has encouraged you, as you pursue this, if He opens doors for you and confirmations to you, why would you not do this when the need is so great? And you can see it all around us, the darkening of this age and this generation. It needs light. It needs men who will open their mouths and bring that light of the gospel to this generation, to this day. There are opportunities opening up not only in our land, but around the world, and we need preachers. Just this past week, we were interviewing Dave Long, the president of our Global Mission Board. And we said, Dave, what is the need right now in the church? Is it money? Is it tools? What's the need? He said, laborers, particularly preachers. They need one in Sudan. They're getting ready to open up, they're praying another mission field. And there's going to be a need for preachers there. The need is great. Tremendous. I don't want you to think of me tonight as, you know, Sergeant York, the drill sergeant down at the seminary, trying to get more, you know, guys down at the seminary. So that, you know, I'm here doing seminary business. Don't think of me that way. Think of me as Private York, who just spent 22 years on the front line. And I'm telling you, we need some help out there, guys. We need more preachers. For the need is so great. And may all of us come before the Lord and ask Him to grant a greater measure of His Spirit. The simple plea of the pastor is the one that Paul gave to the Thessalonians. Brethren, pray for us. Please, O God, give us greater boldness. Give us of Your Spirit so that we can preach with power and see You convert the hearts of men, women, and children. Please, O God, give us the fullness of Your Spirit so that we can see a great and bountiful harvest brought in for the glory of Your Son who gave His own life for His people. May we pray and plead and ask God to raise up preachers to His glory. Because Paul says, again quoting from Isaiah, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And that word beautiful there, it has the sense behind it of the beauty of a fruit when it's fully ripened, like a bright apple upon a tree. Harvesting and bringing in the beauty of the fruit that God desires. And so we need to be praying. We need to be saying, Lord, in this day, in our generation, O God, awaken us. Awaken us. And if He awakens us, we will know it. Because He will send forth those who will preach His Word, even if it costs them their lives. Hear Him. Hear Him tonight. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank You for Your Word. And we pray that Your Spirit would stir each of us up, Father, to a greater urgency of the need that's present in this day and age. We do see, Father, so many perishing for lack of the gospel. We see so many false shepherds telling them smooth things that tickle their ears but destroy their souls. And so we ask, O Father, that You would raise up many who would stand up against the falseness, the false spirits of our day, and bring this wonderfully good news of the gospel to people. And Father, please, even here tonight, for Your sake and for Your glory, call men into ministry. Lord, help them to hear Your voice God, give them direction. Help them to overcome their fears and walk by faith with You. Bless them, Father, as they follow You. Strengthen them. And God, may there be raised up those who would reap 100-fold to Your glory. We ask it and pray it for the sake of Jesus. Amen.